not food, but it goes in your body.
I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
The breath, you're poisoning the roof. You're poisoning
It's worse than bad food.
Yeah, but the word Rabbi said,
I don't know.
You should smoke.
Nah, that's before they knew there were any health problems.
Yeah, that's
once true. They knew there were health problems with it, they all have said to stop. They all said, I don't know. I have to think about it. Drugs. Well, drugs is easy. Drugs are going to amusement parks, television. Those are drugs. Drugs you out. Drugs you out of reality. All those quick pleasures in life. Those things that, you know, the things you shouldn't do, right? Going to movies you shouldn't be watching. Those are drugs. Mom's a drug. Those are hallucinators. You're hallucinating. Whatever. You're hallucinating. This isn't reality. You're living not in reality. You're doing things. You're living for things. You're spending your whole life making a lot of money. And that's a drug. It's a drug. And that's exactly what's happening over here. You think you're happy and you're not. It's just hallucination. That's drugs. Smoking, we have to work out what smoking is. Okay. But hey, that's the point. Next paragraph. Parshas Pinchas. Look over there. It's going to be a bunch of quotes. Shem Parshas Beitz. Teitzei Shnikris. What are all these bad actions called? Ashba Mitunefis Vitzaya. A dirty garbage and feces. Cheinisa Bitikunim. Tikunayin Kufchav Tes. Etc. Etc. A bunch of sources. Go all the way. A couple lines. Vein Tzaya Eli Yetzahara. Tzaya the feces. That's the Yetzahara. And look in the Rizal. That's the root where they fester in, etc., etc. Okay, now look at the Haggah on the bottom there. So we'll just do two lines of it. Just one line. Just get one. It's a long Haggah. I'm just going to do one line of it. This now explains this an interesting statement of the rabbis. It says like this. In general, scoffing is a terrible sin. Leitzonus, scoffing is a very negative thing. It's very bad to scoff. Because to scoff at someone, put down, right? Because it's a form of beetle, of negating things, right? And it's bad because everything has a value. You know, these stand-up comics that knock everybody, you know, that's terrible. That's the worst thing. You should never watch that kind of stuff. Although it's funny. You should never watch it. You know why? Because what are they really doing? They're leitzonim. They're leitzonus. Leitzonus. They're scoffing. What's so bad? Because they're putting down the value of other people. Which is terrible. Everybody has a value. For you to go and put a person down is just to say it has no value. That's why it's terrible to be a scoffer. It's the worst thing. So the Talmud says all scoffing is prohibited except for one thing. Kol leitzonusa asira. Every type of scoffing is prohibited bar except you can scoff at Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, idolatry. Idolatry, you'd scoff. Why? Because idolatry are the cosmic feces of the world. And they have no value. There's only one thing that has no value. Idol worship. That has no value. No value at all. That has no value. You could scoff at it. What do you mean? These spiritual feces. There's no value. Scoff all you want at it. Show exactly what it is. It's nothing. And that's what scoffing does, to say that something's nothing. That's the same idea over here. Okay, now we skip all the way to the next page, towards the bottom. Now I'm going to do something really interesting, which we'll elaborate more on somewhere else. This is very interesting now. Now we have an insight as to what the service of the Baal Peor was. And I get a little insight. What happened, we'll be in a couple parshas from now, the Jewish people, as they traveled in the desert, and they met up with the Midianites, I believe, right? The Midianites? The Midianites. And the Midianites had a whole plan, well laid out, to trick the Jewish men and to seduce them into immorality and to idolatry, which worked. And the type of idolatry that they were engaged in was called the Baal Peor. Now, what was the service of this idol worship? The service was that you would defecate in front of this idol. And the more gross you did it, the better was the service. There's all kinds of stories in the Talmud about a Jew who did like the greatest service and all these things. But anyway, so this is unbelievable. Like what's going on over here? Right? But it's very clear. You see, the intent of Peor was to give existence to that which really you shouldn't be giving existence to. Right? You understand what the feces now are representative of. They're representative of all those evil forces are like the cosmic feces. So they're trying to get engaged in a physical realm with the physical feces to say, we are interested in the spiritual negativity of this world to promote spiritual negativity. And the way it manifests itself in this world, in the physical realm. We Jews have cholent and kishka and good food on Shabbos to show you of the positive food we're trying to feed it. And what are they focusing on? The feces. And they're worshiping the feces. They're feeding. They're like feeding the idols the feces. Right? To show that we're into all the negative things. The destruction of the world. That's the whole point. There's another interpretation to that. But this is a very good interpretation. Kamoshi Kuzbamayimer Tikkunim, etc., etc. Brackets, umitzvahs lo tase. The negative mitzvahs that we've transgressed. They are parnasa, lasam, lamisha, overlay. And for those who transgress them, they are the business. The livelihood of the forces of evil. This is what the verse means in Isaiah, where it says, "Imrachas Hashem es tzoyes b'nos tzion." If when Hashem will wash the daughters of Zion from their feces that are on them, this pasuk is referring to when Hashem will take away all of idolatry. That's the idea. Okay, so this whole idea of the Baal Peor, you know, was a service in which they appreciated waste in a physical way, right? Their whole spiritual makeup was to worship these cosmic feces. That was the idea. Just to mirror the fact of what they were trying to accomplish. Huh? Tuss. He's going to wash us from the feces that we have. We've picked up all these.
Not the daughter religion of Zion.
Huh?
Not the daughter religion of Zion, but the daughter religion.
Yeah, the daughters of Zion. Yeah. Next paragraph. And that's what the Zohar says regarding Yeravam. When Yeravam was the king who split the dynasty, took the 10 tribes away, what did he do? The one thing he had to do in order to ensure that people would not go to Jerusalem, he set up golden calves in the northern and southernmost extremities of the land and said, you don't have to go to Jerusalem anymore, you go to serve the golden calves. Right? That's what he did. So what does the Zohar say? When he made the 2 calves, Shomer Kadosh Baruch Hu Malachim, at that point Hashem said to the Malachim, Hare Kol Shefa Dehava Yohiv Lechon. Okay, read the Hebrew now. Kol Shefa Shoyenaisen Lechem. All nourishment that he was giving to them, to you, he sapik Lechem Bezuama, has now turned into junk. What do you mean the nourishment? You know, it's the good deeds of the Jewish people has now turned into junk. In other words, all your good things you're doing, but now they're focused in the wrong direction. And now all these things, you know, you're offering sacrifice, you're offering the wrong thing. It's now turning into junk in the system. Right? And that becomes the problem. In other words, just like when you put junk in your system, now you got a stomach flu. Right? Now what happens to, now you have a stomach flu, yeah? Now you're eating healthy food. What happens? You're in the middle of a stomach flu. Now you're having the most healthy foods. What happens? All of it comes out. It gets rejected out of the system. So too, Hashem is responding to Yeravam. He's saying the same idea. The idols that you have set up, what are they? You put a bug in the system. Right? And even though Hashem has a lot of nourishment to give, right? Spiritual nourishment to give, but it'll all turn out to waste because the system can't take it. That's the idea he's saying over here now. All the nourishment that I would do, you know, you're doing some good things too. I mean, I'm sure they were doing good things too. They were doing mitzvahs and things like that. And that would bring in greatness, right? But now that you're bringing in good food in the system, it just gets, it's big, it matters worse. Becomes junk. See, that's the problem. Once you got the bugs in the system, you figure, they're doing mitzvahs too. It can't be so bad. No, it makes the system even worse to a certain extent. Okay, v'goyrim b'zeh pegam v'choli v'kilkul gadol shus koach chas v'shalom b'olamos, and now it causes such a sickness and a blemish and spoilage and weakness of strength in the worlds. Okay, what do we mean by this now? It's another point. Every analogy to food fits in here beautifully, right? So now the person's got a stomach flu, right? So what's affected? Just your stomach?
No.
How's your head feel?
Awful.
How do your legs feel? How does your whole body feel? You feel like you're totally wiped out from head to toe, right? You got headaches, you got tiredness, everything. So too in spirituality, when there's a bug in the system, it's not restricted to only hurting one place. Although it may hit one place stronger, your stomach may be keeling over, but your eyes are bulging out and your throat is killing you and you're dizzy and everything, right? The same thing, the bug in the spiritual system is going to have a subtle effect through the entire system. It's going to happen. In other words, your negative thing affects a certain part of the cosmic realm. You put feces in a part of the cosmic realm. But now that there's feces in your system, the whole system's going to be affected. The whole system doesn't work properly. Unbelievable. Next page. Kuf Tezayin. And it's based on how much damage the fi'inyan va'if and amasa, the way and the area of activity that you're involved with. And also depends on the level that you are at in your route to the worlds, how high your spiritual soul reaches. So the amount of sickness that's created has a lot to do with exactly how much the person is capable of making himself sick to begin with. Some people can only make themselves so sick, right? So there's the degrees in sickness are based on A, how much junk food you ate, B, what your overall constitution is, and that depends how sick you're going to be. If you've got a cast iron stomach, maybe you put a lot of junk in, it's only going to hurt so much. But if you've got a weak constitution, it's going to devastate you. Depending on how much you eat, it's also going to depend on what's going on over there. So the same thing, depending on what kind of soul you have, can be more devastation. You have a greater soul, you're reaching into more far-reaching, important places in the cosmic areas, it's going to make a more damaging effect to the system and to other systems relating to that. Kiyazba Osan Ha'ilamas, and then in all those worlds, Sha Osan Amaisi Magim Adem, that those actions hit those spots. Ain he Ahispashtus Vishabrus Atzmuso Yizbarch Bahem Allah Shlemus Amita Karoi. Hashem can't spread himself and connect his being in terms of connecting with the world properly. Kivi Kavanas Ritzon Yizbarch, the way the Almighty wants to. Okay? Again, moving on, more about the ill health from the bad food. Has a lot to do with where the person is connected, he's saying. What are the intentions behind it, right? But then he goes on and he says something very fascinating. He says, the way we envision the health of a person is like this. You have a person, and even if there's, let's say, a flow of life going into the person, and that should activate every part of the person to make everything work, right? That's what it should be. Now, there's a sickness. Now, the sickness can come in certain ways. Number one, the flow of life may not come in with the same degree of intensity as it had been coming in before. And number two, even if it does come in with the same intensity, but maybe it doesn't circulate through the system in a way that it could circulate if the person would be ready for it in a healthy way to accept it. And there's two ways the problem can be. You know, for example, you could put all the healthy vitamins in an IV. And you stick an IV into somebody, but if their circulatory system isn't working well, it's not going to put in all that good medicine through the system so well. Right? So there are two factors. How much is given into flow? What's in the IV? And how good is the circulation of the system? So Reb Chaim is explaining, how does it usually begin? The beginning of the spiritual sickness is that the spiritual IV is always there. There's a tremendous amount that God wants to put in. The problem is there's all kinds of blockages that don't allow the nourishment to go through the system. Right? God's ready to give. It's coming. He's ready to give it. What do? You do that over there, put a block over there, another over there, put a block over there, and now the flow gets blocked. It can't circulate around the system over there. Now, when it can't spread around the system, what happens? You got all that nourishment ready to come in, you know, or even let's say you're eating lots of healthy food, but you got a blockage right by the intestine.
Like carrots, talk about being cut off.
Right, same idea. So the system begins to starve. It doesn't have the nourishment, and then that brings in the sickness. Right? Person needs a constant nourishment from God spiritually. And it's available. The question is, how much spirituality are you allowing to circulate through the system? That depends how clean the system is. The more various you do, the more blockages in the system. And God's spirituality cannot circulate through properly. Further, I want to finish this chapter today. Where are we? Yeah. Delo shari ba'asar pogim. They can't spread in places that are flawed. Kolod asher adayin chalosa besocha. As long as the sickness is inside of it, umitsuasa lo ruchatz, and from the garbage and the waste, it has not been cleansed out. Okay. Then you have a problem. If it's not been cleansed out, you have a big problem. So we're going to see that the place where you've got the problems, you can't go through. And we know all the worlds are interconnected. There's no world that stands in and of itself. Every world's connected to another part. So all the worlds feel and are affected to a certain degree by the problems that are over there. As we said before, if it's affecting in one area, it's going to affect in other areas. I want to skip a little bit over here.
Would anyone ever say that there's a direct relationship between a person's illness and their spirituality?
Sure, there's got to be some connection. There's got to be some spiritual connection without a question. Without a question, there's got to be something over there.
Not necessarily that the person did something bad.
No, but there's some spiritual. There's got to be something spiritual about it. There's got to be something spiritual about it. There's no question about it. Okay. So that's what Reb Chaim is saying over here. Reb Chaim is saying that the way the system works, there are inevitable consequences of sins. And the inevitable consequence is the system's got to be cleansed. That's what he's saying. There's blockages. As long as it's not washed out, you have problems, and there's no way to circumvent it. Now, there are many ways to cleanse them. So let's see in the next paragraph how that happens now. We're up to the point where your person is sick. How's the patient going to get better? They cannot return to their old, previous state of health and repair. The true, the way they were before. Until those forces of impurity have left. Right? You put sickness into the cosmic world. There's feces crawling all around there. God's flow can't be coming through. So, that's a sickness in the system, right? Now, how's that going to get cleaned out? Al yedei kibul ha'adam anshoy haroi lo. It comes through the punishment that's fitting for the person to get. Through a certain pain and a punishment that's appropriate for the degree of the impurity imposed upon the system, right? Again, there's the bug in the system. The whole system isn't going to work properly until the bug is removed. And the way the bug is removed is through the suffering that happens to the person. That's how it's like expelled from the spiritual system, and it's brought into you, and you go through the course of the punishment, and that cleans out the system. It's like it's being flushed out of the system. That's the way it works. And that's one way of cleansing the system. By that suffering that goes on. Okay, and that isn't the place of cleansing. There are other things. Okay? But a person just regretting his sin. It's important, a concept over here. You do an avera. You regret the sin. Doesn't fix the system. I ate 50 chocolate bars tonight. 3 o'clock in the morning, I regret what I did.
Oh, I
regret what I did. Those spicy jalapeno chips. Whoa, I regret what I did. Right? Okay, doctor, I regret what I did. Now can it be better? No, we have to detoxify the system. It's got to be detoxified. Has to be before the system gets better. So we pray to God on the high holidays that we should be able to detoxify the system in the least painful fashion possible. that it shouldn't detour our spiritual growth. God can detoxify your system to the point where he wipes you out almost. And you can't even do the things you're supposed to, but that's got to happen. Right? You know, the Talmud tells us there are certain sins that a person, if they do willfully, in an era of rebellion, where tshuva alone does not suffice. The Talmud in Yom HaShoah says that some averos need tshuva, need Yom Kippur, plus suffering. Plus suffering. Okay? That's very interesting. Now, how does that work? Well, we know the whole system of mitzvahs and averos isn't like a balance sheet. It doesn't work like, let's say, I did 50 mitzvahs and 30 averos. I'm a good accountant. I'll subtract 30 from 50. God, I'll cut you a deal. Reward me for 20 mitzvahs, and that's it. You know, I'll be happy with that. I know I did 50, but I don't want to get hurt, so just give me 20. It doesn't work that way. Because the mitzvahs help you grow spiritually, and the averos need a cleansing process. So what usually happens is first God has to employ the cleansing process for the averos, then you're able to absorb everything that you've done in terms of what the mitzvahs are supposed to do for you. That's the way it has to work. That's why you got to get punished for everything you do, because you got to clean out your system to absorb what the mitzvahs are doing for you. Okay, now how's that going to happen? And what does happen sometimes? Rabbeinu Yonah explains. When you come to God and do tshuva and Yom Kippur, right? So that can give you forgiveness. Forgiveness. Okay, you did a bad thing, I can forgive you. But even after the forgiveness happens, you got to have the cleansing. You got to have the cleansing. The system's got to get better. And that can come from, that has to quite often come from the suffering. Okay, forgiveness means, God says, I'm not going to hold it against you anymore. And you won't be punished to the letter of the law for having done the sin. You know, you're not, in other words, you're not going to be accountable for the penal code. For the penal code, you're not going to get it. But it doesn't mean to say you've cleansed yourself from the involvement of the sin. Right? In other words, there's two aspects here. There's one thing, you've rebelled against God. And for that, he should strike you down as a rebel. Swipe you out. It's because I can forgive you for that. Okay? But on the other hand, your involvement of the sin, you still have this attachment to it. Right? The bug is still in you. Right? I mean, so now we got to get that out of the way. Now what's it going to do with the pain? The pain that comes from that, that's what will detach you from it. You say, look at what I did to myself. This is the direct result of what I've done. He's going to explain them further in the 8th chapter. This is, I did it to myself, and look at what the fruits of what I've done. It's not me anymore. It's just totally disastrous. And now the person disassociates them from him. That's the point. So, in terms of being forgiven, it's one thing. And Rabbeinu Yonah therefore says to the Baal Tshuva, he says, don't think that after Yom Kippur everything's okay. It's very possible after Yom Kippur, where now you have this clarity, and now you know you've done wrong, and now you've asked for forgiveness, and now you're not going to be hit for the penal code. Now you know what you're ready for. You're ready now for the cleansing process. Which would have been a total waste if God would have done it before you regretted your sin. Because then the cleansing process would be happening. You wouldn't even realize it's a cleansing process, and it would be a wasted cleansing process. And therefore, you can don't think just because Yom Kippur is over, you're out of the woods. It could very well be that the cleansing process has to start. And that's what you've wrecked up the system. Right? You know, what he's saying is, a lot of, if suffering comes to you, but you don't realize why it's coming to you, it's a waste. It's a waste. Now, if you've done tshuva and you realize what you've done wrong, and now God gives it to you, you guys, this is the cleansing part, and now I've got to disassociate myself. I'm on good terms with God, but I got chocolate bars in the system. Now we got to get the chocolate bars out of the system, and now I will understand this suffering in terms of getting the chocolate bars out of the system. And then they're of use. So that's what he's saying, that it's going to have to come with Yisurim to get it out of the system. That is the way the system's made. You don't have a choice. You ate the chocolate bars, you're lucky. You're lucky that the stomach is regurgitating it out and is churning away and is trying to get it out. It's painful, but if it wouldn't be painful, it would be sitting in your system, it would be worse. So the same thing, you do something wrong, you've got to suffer for it. For many of it, not everyone, but for many you do. Okay? And that's the only way it's going to get out of the system, but we'll see there's another one. So hang on, it's not the only way.
Maybe that's why we say Gamzula Toba, because whatever is happening bad to us...
Well, no, it's more than that. Gamzula Toba is showing how everything is part of God's plan, and there has to be a point to it all. It could be part of it, but it's a much bigger concept. So let's just finish up now. Ukamosh Kosabrahim Ahemdan and Pinchas, etc., etc. Shall ye days that are through the suffering, Mela Migo Yagorshu Koregosafutamu, it is chased away, the bug in the system, and it finally is extinguished. Fine Lael, Shar Aleph, Ba'ozma, Mela, and then after the suffering, Misrape Apkamva Kilkul Shalomas, then the blemish and the flaw and the damage in the worlds is fixed up. It's been flushed out of the system. Right? You put it into the system. Right? It came into the system. What goes in, if it's bad, it's got to go out. It's got to go out through you the same way. And now you've cleaned up the system. You have purified yourself from the sickness of this garbage, and now it comes to its better state of repair.
How do you know when you've achieved that level?
When you totally don't think about the aver anymore. It's not part of your life anymore. It's not part of your life anymore. You've suffered enough. You know? It could be, you know, there's so many ways you could talk of a person lives a promiscuous type of life, right? And then he gets AIDS. Right? Well, I'm just giving an example, you know. I'm just saying your body is debilitating or whatever. You got whatever the other sicknesses that weren't so terminal that happened. Herpes. Okay? So, look what this got me. This is crazy. What did I get involved in this for? This is, you know. And then you get to the point where you disassociate from yourself and you don't need anymore. Doesn't that? It gets to the point you don't need it anymore. Okay?
What about the person who suffers heart problems but who was never... it's more of a hereditary thing. It's not.
All right, that's an interesting question. I don't know. You never know. It could be, you know, maybe many generations back, it was a terrible avera was done, and it may need many reincarnations to correct it. See, sometimes things happen. See, that, again, there's different. Again, whenever we look at suffering, this is only one part of the equation. There is a part, you did something wrong, you will be punished for it. That's one thing. There's other things. Sometimes you're punished for what happened in previous life existences. That isn't necessarily in your control, except to accept it willingly and let it be a cleansing. Right? So that could be, you know, maybe a thing that's passed down in family genes could be that kind of thing. Could be a great-great-great-great-grandparent, you know, murdered 1,000 people. I don't know. You know, I'm just saying, could go way back. You could go back to the times you were of them. You know, and went and murdered out 500,000 people. That's going to take a lot of generations to correct that one. And you couldn't be, you know, the person now is a good person, but he's part of a soul root that is very damaged and now needs all this repair. And to the degree that you accept this suffering lovingly is the degree that the repair will happen. That could be another way of looking at it.
Except one doesn't look at that person in that way, though, like thinking, okay, well, what happened?
No, you're not a bad person here, like right the way you're couched here, but you're part of a greater soul that goes way back that maybe needs some correction. That could be. Could be other things. Could be challenges. There's so many ways. We can't try to, you know, make the scorecard on how it goes. There's too many equations. But we got to understand, whatever's coming our way, we got to accept it lovingly and appreciate that there's a value. There's something happening in a positive way. Right? Reb Chaim is just explaining one direction that it takes. Don't get caught up in trying to figure out why this person was sick and that person...
Yeah, no, I'm just asking.
It's not productive. Yeah, but...
Sidebar, not totally productive, but what's the position of the Orthodox community on transplant?
On what?
That certainly is often... Under certain circumstances, it's permitted.
Well, to preserve life.
Under certain circumstances, permitted. Certain circumstances, not permitted.
So such as?
I'm saying that because you're taking the essence of another person.
No, you just take, well...
Just take an organ.
You know, it's an...
It probably has to be from somebody who's not Jewish.
No, it could be from someone who's Jewish, too.
I saw
the main concern is the main concern is that the person.
I mean, after a person had died already, that's.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. Oh, so that's one of the problems because some things are.
From a Jewish person.
Eyes are okay.
Really?
There's a whole discussion. I don't want to get. It's very complicated. It's very complicated issue. But there are certain circumstances where it's permitted. Certain circumstances permitted. Not all. Okay, it's very complex. Anyway, let's finish up the last paragraph. Now that's one way of getting it out. But there's another way. O al yedei hatshuva shleim amitis. With true, intense, authentic tshuva, you can accomplish the same thing. Okay? Why? Shemagas atshrusha al yom. Because tshuva reaches the highest spiritual roots. When you do tshuva, you're tapping in cosmically to a place that's called Hanikra Olam HaTshuva, the world of Tshuva. Oma Dechiru Unehiru Ila Dekula. It's a world of freedom, of higher light, higher than all. So you're tapping into that. Umisham Misor V'Nimshach Or Elyon Kadosh. And from there comes down a light of holiness. It's like a laser gun of spirituality. It's like chemotherapy, painless chemotherapy. It's like the light is just blazing in. It's your main mikvatar, it's like waters, purifying waters. Lirchotz l'tar, kolichluch psolas kochasatuma, to wash off and purify all dirty vestiges of impurity of forces. They become non-existence in terms of their powers. They cease to exist. That's what the verse says. Imrachatz Adonai es tzoas benos tzion, if my master will wash out the filth of the daughters of Tzion. And as Yecheskel says, Zerakti Aleichem Mayim Torah, I will sprinkle upon them holy waters. Now this is not just a simple cop-out. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his book of Shari Tshuva, goes through a 20-step process, a very intricate process that involves the human being at all levels. It involves the human being intellectually, emotionally, every level. Why? Because when you do a sin, every part of you is involved in a sin. There's the intellectual part, you rationalize why you can do it. There's the emotional part, why you do it. There's the physical part. Every part is involved when you sin. So now you've got to correct every part that was involved, has to be involved in the corrective process as well. Okay. Now, what's happening over here is that, so it's very interesting. So we've got two ideas. If you've got a bug in your system, one way is it needs 24 hours till it leaves the system. You've got to suffer. That's one way to get it. The other way is tshuva works while the bug is still in the system. But tshuva attaches itself, as we discussed, I think, in a previous earlier class. It attaches itself to the part of the person that the bug hasn't reached. Remember we said there's a certain part of you that isn't affected. It hits the part that's not reached, and from there, the person has a way of relating to that area of good health, and that good health is able to just blow away the bug. Okay, now you got to realize that you're not cheating over here. Okay, you're not cheating at all, because the truth is you're doing a lot of suffering when you're doing tshuva. But it's a different type of suffering. It's not this physical type of suffering. It's a much more intense type of suffering. To be able to turn around and say, you know, what I did for the last 30 years of my life is wrong. Which is a very, very difficult thing. The brings down, saves it over here. The Talmud tells us, for example, when Joshua, well, it's not the Talmud really, it's in the Nach. When Joshua conquered Jericho, he made a ban that no Jew is able to rebuild the city of Jericho. And he made a curse. Any Jew who builds the city of Jericho with his oldest son will die when he puts up the foundation, and his youngest son will die when he puts up the final mezuzah on the door. And that was a curse that hundreds of years passed. No one dared to rebuild it until a person by the name of Chiel came to rebuild the city of Jericho. And as he built the city, each one of his sons died. Till finally, the last, I think he had 10 sons, I remember, he had lots of sons. Till they finally finished building Rikha, and the last son died. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asked the question. It was so clear that this was the curse. The curse is coming true, and every stage of the path, another son is dying. So how is it that he didn't stop? Asked Reb Chaim. And he says like this, if Chil would have stopped in the middle, it would have been a total admission and a proclamation that he had killed his first children. Because if stopping in the middle, right, would contribute that as an admission of being responsible for what happened until then. If he stops in the middle, because it's like I killed them. Right? And there's within human nature this repulsion to repel the admission of a mistake and its consequences. Right? To such a point that a person is going to stubbornly continue with the mistake than rather to admit the consequences over here. Okay? So when a person does tshuva, that's a very painful process. To go back and look and say, you know, I did all these things and all the ideas and I was out to lunch. That's very painful to say that a part of your life was wrong. And that's why people don't change that much. That's why the resistance to change. It's more painful, could be, than heart disease. It's a different type of pain. Right? But what is essentially happening is you are disassociating yourself from that negative activity as well. That's what you are doing. In a much more intense way, hitting in every level. So there's no way, now later on he's going to give you a third way, which we're not going to get into now. Learning Torah also does it, but he doesn't get into it over here. But there's no way you're going to cheat the system. You got it in the system, you got to do something. Either you just suffer through it, or you take a very painful medication, and that painful medication is chew. Okay, and you put that into the system, that's going to burn out and just destroy the bug. But it's a very painful way too. However, it is a way, that way does not hinder your spiritual growth. Sickness could. Sickness can just wipe you out to the point where you can't make it. You can't make it happen anymore. Right? But if you're doing tshuva, that could be part of the growth process that can eliminate it from the system and get it out. And you can continue to grow in a very positive way. Question?
I've read about repentance, and the second stage, this purification, means you absolutely have to totally remove that whole sin from you.
Right.
That's
got to
be
painful. Painful.
Really difficult.
Of course it's difficult.
Do.
That's why it's a 20-step process. 20-step process, and it means just don't do it overnight.
Is there, I know in mitzvahs there's no better ones and worse ones. And in sins, same idea, you don't know what effect small sin could be more...
Well, there's some that we say are more detrimental. There really are better ones, but it's a complicated issue. There's certainly some, the three cardinal sins are definitely terrible. Murder, immorality, and idolatry. They're at the top of the list, and Lashon Hara equal to all of them. They're definitely the worst. And that's why the world's in such a sorry state of affair. That's why the world's in so much trouble. That's why there's so much sickness. That's why there's so much trouble. One thing's for sure, if we would all stop talking Lashon Hara, the hospitals wouldn't be so full. It's for sure. It's for sure. It's for sure. But it's just so rampant. It's just so rampant. I mean, we feel the effects of it. That's for sure. There's no question about it. And we don't want to do tshuva. We don't want to do tshuva.
Now, as Balei Tshuva, there are things that I know that wrong doing, right? Which I don't do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But and I accept it willingly. Now, it's not enough. I have to...
That's correct. You've got to really go through that process of tshuva.
Is he talking about how to go? Or do
no, he
doesn't.
You have to look at Rabbeinu Yonah. Gates of Repentance. First gate. Although it's not an easy read to read on your own. It's good to be done with a teacher.
Salvechik?
That's not gates of
repentance? No. Are you going to do that?
I don't know. We'll see. All the good classes nobody goes to, see?
What do you mean? We all come here.
No, I'm saying Parsha class, you get 50, 60 people coming. To meat and potatoes over here, you get a dozen people over here. You do Gates of Repentance, you get a dozen people over here. It's a worthwhile thing to do. Okay, anyway, there was more I was going to do, but it's late. Well, next week, to do closure on this, we're going to discuss now how the Mun, was this week's Parsha, I really wish I could have done it, but it'll take another 20 minutes, it's too much. Where does the Mun figure into this? How did food? What kind of food was it?
Of course, there's the Midrash that after the 40 years there was no waste, right?
There was no waste, that's what I wanted to talk about. Okay, but anyway, we don't have time for
that. I wanted to ask you before, so they finally get to Baal Peor and it's way the waste.
Just a moment.
Anyway, next time.
What about when they ate
very
the,
simple.
The bird?
Because they gave them wine to drink.
They
had to give them their own food. They gave them their own food. That's the where the waste came from.
Thank you.
What happened when they ate the bird?
What?
You know, the bird? The pigeons, whatever.
Yeah. What about them?
Right.
What about them?
Did they have waste? Because it was a
for
manna.
Sure, for sure.
I can move their noses.
That could be why they died. They weren't used to having waste for so long. All of a sudden, you got all that stuff in your system. Maybe you can't handle it. Anyways, that's something interesting to look at. And the next few chapters will take us further in this. Okay, so anyway, regarding...